Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I want everybody to stand up. Everyone stand up. All right. I want you to slap the person next to you on the back and ask them how they're doing. Okay. Grab them. Shake them a little bit. Shake them a little bit. Okay. All right. All right. That's enough. No fun. That's enough fun. Okay. All right. You guys have a seat. I know, they just kind of take it and run with it. Welcome to First Church. My name is Justin Grifford. I'm the associate pastor here at First Church. I'm going on my second Sunday now, and they haven't run me off yet. So that's working so far. So I just want to welcome you. And also, if you'll look at your bulletin, there's a connection card somewhere on that on the back. And that's supposed to have a perforated line, but Eric and I were trying to tear that, and I don't think it can be torn flawlessly. If you can do that, praise God, okay? Go with it. So we want you to fill that out. There's a lot of different little things to check, so when you have time, look at that.
Not during the sermon.
Not during the sermon. After, okay? Before, or while I'm speaking. Also, there's plenty of announcements. If you look at the announcements just on the inside of the bulletin, let's see. Trunk or Treat is coming up pretty soon on October 31st. So if you have an elephant, you can bring your elephant and use its trunk. Or I don't know. Is that what the trunk is? Okay. I'm not sure. And did you have an announcement that you wanted to?
Oh, you're going to fit in great. good morning, everybody. We have one thing I wanted to lift up this morning was the fact that on October 24th, although every Sunday is special in this church, I mean, just look at this. Isn't that great? You know, but that day, I don't know if any of you have heard of the To Save a Life movie. Anyone? To Save a Life? Yes, it is an amazing movie. And it talks about the issues that youth are dealing with in our day now, in this day and age. We're showing that movie at 3 o'clock, correct? And Jamie has invited all the churches of the area and their youth groups to come and be here. This is a community event. It is a very powerful, powerful movie. So we really want your presence here. What's going to happen is at 3 o'clock, will be the movie showing. Then after the movie, we're going to go downstairs and have a little bite to eat. And then that'll allow the youth some process time and also for us adults some process time. And then we are going to split up the youth group ages and have, a discussion time with a facilitator. It will be pretty much youth-led because youth-driven. We want the youth to be able to speak freely, but it is important, as you all, I hope you know, I believe that a church is supposed to be involved with the youth, whether it's our biological children or just the youth in the church. I think both are equally important, and as a church, we need to understand the issues that they're going through, the things that they're dealing with, so that we can seriously pray for them and understand, at least in a small part, what's going on in their life. So please come and at least see the movie. We would like all of you to come and see the movie, if at all possible. The 24th of October. Did I forget anything? Today at what time?
It says 4.
Okay.
Well, I was looking for Sarah. That's what the flyers that we sent out may have said 1:30, but the bulletin says 4, so...
So you're going to have a long day, is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
What that is Jamie would like to meet with any adult who would like to be that facilitator for the youth and support them on that day. So today she is meeting with them at possibly 1:30 and 4. But for you all, it would be 4 o'clock for the other church leaders because she has invited all the churches in the community to be a part of this. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
This time we will have our prelude. Let's all stand now for our song of praise. Hear our praises. Be on the screen.
Let us focus our hearts and our minds today on worshiping our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer.
May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus. People turn and pray from the mountain to the valley. Hear our praises rise to you from the heavens to the nations. Hear our singing.
Singing.
God, as we come to you today, we want to give you thanks, Lord. We want to thank you for the fact that you were thinking of us before our eyes were open to this day. We want to thank you, Lord, for giving us a place to gather and worship without fear, God. We want to thank you, Lord, for the lives that you have gifted us with, the people that are around us, the gifts and talents that we have, and the way that because of you, Lord, we can come together and work and glorify your holy name. We can raise our hands and our voices and praise to you. And dear God, you change our lives, and we thank you, God, for you. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here this day. And even though we understand that is real, we want to be deliberate in asking you in Jesus' name, Lord. We invite you into this place. Anoint us fully with your Spirit. Fill this place. May your Spirit just push against these walls, Lord, as you bring healing and wholeness to us. As you give us your power, as you empower us to love each other and to love others, even when they're not like us, God. Help us, Lord, as we worship you. Help us focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, God. Make us truly one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen.
He is mighty to save. the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Come on now, sing it out. Here we go.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Conquer the grave.
Here we go now.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
God. Please be seated.
Linda Nelson is going to lead the kids this morning in their time together.
I love Jesus.
Sing with me.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus,
yes I do.
I love Jesus,
how about you?
I love Jesus, yes I do.
Jesus, how about you?
We're glad to have you with us this morning, and I'm going to need a little help this morning. How about giving you that to hold up, that piece of paper, and I'm going to give you that piece of paper and that piece of paper. Can you hold it way up high so everybody can see it? Whoops, we got one backwards. What does that say, congregation? Can you read it? Sharing is serving. Here we go. Well, I'm going to tell you a true story about a man who shared and who served. This man was a Missourian. He was born in Missouri about close to the end of the Civil War. We don't exactly know his exact birth date. His name was George Washington Carver, and I have a picture when he was young and as he grew older. And he was born in very dangerous times at the end of the Civil War. His parents were slaves, and he became orphaned as just an infant. And he and his older brother were raised by the farm owners, Moses and Susan Carver. He was very, very poor. He taught himself to read. He didn't even have a pencil. He had to make his own pencil. But he wanted to be educated. And so he, at the age of 12, he had to leave his home because there was no school that he could attend close by. He went to a school that had one teacher to 75 students. You don't have classrooms like that today, do you? He got admitted to college, but when they found out that he wasn't a white person, they wouldn't let him attend. So he managed to go to college in Iowa, But he couldn't study the courses he wanted to study, and that was science and botany. So he then transferred to what is now Iowa State University. And there he was able to study about science and plants, and he became very well known for his great studies, and he was on the faculty there. But he had a friend that convinced him to go to Alabama and come to Tuskegee. And there he did tremendous work for the farmers in that area. The Civil War had devastated their land. They had always planted cotton, and their soil was depleted. The farmers were going to starve to death. The southern agriculture was ruined. But George Washington Carver credited God giving him the ideas of crop rotation. Who can tell me what crop rotation is? Does anybody know? You don't know what crop rotation. It means planting different crops, crops that will enrich the soil. He came up with the idea of planting, what's this? Peanuts. Who likes peanuts? What's your favorite food from peanuts? Steak. How about peanut butter? Anybody like peanut butter? Well, you know, George Washington Carver made over 300 products from peanuts. It wasn't just enough to come up with the crops. They had to have products that they could sell. Thanks to his wonderful scientific experiments, also with sweet potatoes, soybeans, and peas, he saved the southern agriculture. They credit him with actually turning it around. But the wonderful thing about George Washington Carver, he credits the Carvers who raised him in Christian faith, the ideas from God. People wanted him to sell his ideas, and he said, they came from God. I can't charge people for God's ideas. Have you ever heard of Thomas Edison? You haven't heard of Thomas Edison. Do you have a light bulb in your house? Okay. He invented the light bulb, along with many other things. He wanted George Washington Carver to come and work for him. He offered him $100,000 a year. And George said, these are the people I need to serve. I can't leave them. Do you know that's the equivalent to $1 million right now? And he turned it down because he wanted to serve the people he worked with. And that's a wonderful, wonderful example of serving. And do you know that if these people trade signs, you take this sign and we're going to give you this sign. Now what does the sign say? Serving is sharing. You know it's interchangeable. You can't do one without the other. And our closing today is going to be some words of George Washington Carver. It's going to be our benediction. He said, it's not the style of clothes one wears, neither the kind of automobile one drives, nor the amount of money one has in the bank that counts. These mean nothing. It is simply service that measures success. And thank God that we still have people today that serve God in many ways. Amen. I'm going to give you your cups.
At this time, we go to our joys and concerns. And this morning, we have a real big concern, or big joy, it should be. It's a concern that I might have ate too much for breakfast, but a big joy that the Ignite Youth Group put on a breakfast this morning. And if you missed it, you missed a good breakfast. And you should, yeah, let's give them a hand. They did a great job. And if you did miss it, they still need money, so you can make a donation, right?
Amen.
Okay.
Hey, Jay. So, he's going to get mad at me, but Leonard Summers was our head cook this morning, and he did a phenomenal job getting that all cooked up.
So, thank you, Leonard. We appreciate it. And I'm sure the youth do, too. But we also have another Joy, Shanda Miller's brother, Danny Green, and Olivia Schultz had their baby boy last week. The baby and mom are both doing well, and it was a much-needed joy for the family this week. That comes from Weston. So we want to certainly keep that baby and the parents in prayer and hope that they continue to do well. Also this morning we have joys that if you looked at your newsletter this month, I was amazed at how many birthdays we had and how many anniversaries we had in the month of October this month. So if you see any of those people that have those birthdays, if you happen to look at it, if you haven't, look at it, because it's just amazing how many there are. But a couple of special anniversaries for people I know of are here this morning is my Aunt Berna and Uncle Ray had their 29th, I believe, today is their anniversary. And also Homer and Sharon May had their anniversary today. So we want to certainly lift up praises and our prayers for those people to have many more years of wedded bliss and many more birthdays. And on the back of the bulletin, you will find the people that we need to remember in prayer in the nursing homes and assisted living. And we just ask that you keep this near your prayer chair during the week and lift each one of these people up by name and pray for them and their needs. And also, of course, we want to keep in, as always, our armed forces personnel here in the United States and abroad as they go through a trying time. And another thing to keep near your prayer chair is Cliff Notes, the little Cliff Notes that kind of accent each day what the message is about. And it just makes a good Bible study for everybody. So just kind of keep that in mind. As if you keep it by your prayer chair, it'll always be mindful to you. So, and there's lots of things that are going on this week. The Festival of Sharing, we want to keep that in our next October 16th is the Festival of Sharing. We want to keep that in our prayers. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Oh, Lord God, we just praise you for this glorious, wonderful, beautiful day that you've given us, that we can come to your house to study your word, to worship you, to hear your word. And Lord, we lift up these joys that we just thank you so much for. We thank you so much for the youth in this church and what they're doing and what you're doing for them. Lord, we just see your blossoming through these youth and what they're doing in our community and throughout the whole world. And Lord, we just lift up these prayer concerns. You know their needs more than we. We know that there are prayer concerns that have not been spoken, that people have in their hearts, that we just lift those up to you, Lord, that you would deal with them. We thank you for all of those people that aren't here this morning, that for whatever reason, whether they're traveling or whatever, we just ask your blessings on them wherever they might be. And Lord God, as we continue our service to you today and hear your word, we just ask for your continued guidance and blessings today and throughout this week. These things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. While you're turning there, can someone tell me who wrote Matthew? Matthew, yes. That's right. Matthew 6, verse 33. Okay, and before we read, I want you to close it on your finger. If you have a fancy ribbon, you can put your ribbon there or your bulletin. Everyone stand. Everyone say, this is my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the Word of God. In Matthew 6, there is a sermon, a famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, given by who? Jesus, that's right. And any time a preacher or anyone ever asks you who did something, Jesus is always the best answer. Because directly or indirectly, he did it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is the Word of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Justin. Well, the last few weeks we've been stepping through the prayer that has come to be known the Lord's Prayer, because it is the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And, you know, this is amazing because when I first thought of having this teaching series, I thought, man, this is going to be a breeze. You know, I thought, I have said this prayer my entire life. I have got to know this prayer, right? And the more I studied this and the more I researched, the more I realized how shallow my understanding of this prayer has been my entire life. And my prayer is that you have been able to learn something from this series so far. And one thing that we need to understand in the very beginning of this prayer is that instead of the traditional Jewish way that God was considered. So instead of the way that Jews considered God traditionally, they thought of him as transcendent, which means removed. This authoritarian, king-like God who was a disciplinarian. You stepped out of line, you were disciplined, right? And Jesus wanted the disciples to think of God as a much more personal figure, as Father, as Abba. We might even say today, Daddy. We might actually, what Jesus might be wanting us to do is pray using the word Daddy rather than the some godly, kingly, Lord figure that is over our lives. Now, some of you maybe didn't have the best daddy in the world. And Jesus obviously does not want you to think about that sort of daddy. Jesus wants you to think of that person who made you feel safe, who loved you and respected you and accepted you. And quite honestly, when you made mistakes, more than a disciplinarian was that person who grabbed you up and hugged you and helped you remember that you're loved even when you make mistakes. So that is the person, that is the type of person that Jesus wanted the disciples and us to understand when we say a prayer. So from the very beginning, to say this prayer, you have to believe that you are a child of God. Let's say that. I am a child of God. Let's say that together. I am a child of God. Now, once we establish that, we also realize that Jesus said, "Our Father." How many times have you said it and went right over that three-letter word, O-U-R? Our Father. In other words, not only are you a child of God, not only am I a child of God, I am also not alone. I am a part of a family. So let's say this. I am a child. I am a child of God, and I'm not alone. I am a part of a family. What family are you a part of that I'm referring to? God's family, that right. And if you want to bring that into an intimate family setting, what family setting would that be? Huh? This particular church, right? And you know what? What I'm advocating, and I understand what Jesus advocated as well, because how many disciples did Jesus have? Isn't it amazing that the human psyche does best if you meet in groups of 12 or less? Isn't that just amazing? Here, Jesus, I'm sure purely by accident, had 12 disciples. He taught 12 disciples. And so it's amazing, small groups, if you really want to get deep, if you really want to have pure relationships that you can really depend on. I mean, you can depend on these folks that are sitting around you if you look to your right and your left, your front in front of you and behind you. But if you really want people that you can hang on to, it's those people in those small groups that you gather together with. And I would advocate that every single one of you need to be involved in one of those. But anyway, I am a child of God, and I am not alone. I am a part of a family. It is so important that that gets deep within your heart and your soul. And at those moments when you think you cannot walk another step, you remember, I am a child of God. You can even say it as a breath prayer, can't you? I am a child of God. I am not alone. How powerful that is to you when you remember that. This family is to support and defend each other. This family is to lift each other up in prayer and do all in their power to provide a place of healing and wholeness. Now, the next week, we looked at the sentence, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And we came to realize, now, of course, this is so much prettier, the way Jesus put it. But what it really, the way we can understand this better, it what we are saying is, may you, God, be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality, as you have revealed them to us, demand. Right? It's a lot longer, maybe a little bit more sloppy, but it's easier to understand, isn't it? Then hallowed be your name. May you, God, be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality demand. In other words, even though Jesus wanted us to think of God as a personal, safe figure, Jesus also didn't want us to lose that holiness that God is. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Ultimately, we realize that this statement simply supported what we find in Scripture, and that is that God is the axiom. God's existence is the basic fact of life. And we express this reverence for God who exists and the God who is personally interested in us by living and demonstrating it in every moment of our lives, both in the church and in the world. Remember, we talked about how, and I'm sure many of you have had this happen to you, people will walk up to you when they know you're going through a hard time and they'll say, "How in the world can you be so at peace at this point in your life?" And I know inside, although many of you probably don't do this, but inside, don't express it outwardly, but inside you're probably going, "Well, let me tell you, this is why." Right? Oh, if we could just get you to express that outwardly. That's where I'd like to go with that. But anyway, so God is the axiom. God's existence is the basic fact of life. And the way we hallow God's name is by living and demonstrating it in every moment of our lives, both in the church and in the world. Finally, last week we focused on the line of our prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, I don't know about you, for those that were here, but whenever I was putting that together,
That was a hard thing for me to swallow. Anybody else have that issue? Am I the only one who's having spiritual difficulties with that? Huh? You see, because along with his resurrection, we understand that with Jesus, the kingdom came. Jesus' plan is that this kingdom would begin in us and the church and would spread throughout the world. And although it's very exciting and we celebrate God's victories when our expectations are met or when we are surprised, sometimes it's scary when the kingdom of God comes to visit. Amen? Remember we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Anybody remember this? Are y'all awake this morning? Do we need to stand up and do some jumping jacks to get the blood flowing? All right. Hey, I'd love to do that. That'd be great, man. But anyway, so remember we talked about those three guys, and they refused to bow down, and they refused to worship this God that King Nebuchadnezzar made. Remember that? Am I ringing a bell to anybody here, all right? And so, since they refused to bow down, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Threw him in the furnace, right? Now, in front of little g, God, and everyone, right? Not only were there three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in that furnace, not burning up, there was also, it looked like, a fourth figure in there. Does anybody remember what I'm talking about? All right. And in front of little g God and everybody, big G God saved those three men. Amen? Oh, I think, man, that's making chills go down my back. Come on now. Amen? All right, yeah, so, but you know what? We celebrate those times, don't we? We celebrate when God cures the cancer. We celebrate whenever God anoints a doctor to find an illness to help us out, don't we? We celebrate all these things in our life when our children make right decisions. We celebrate those times, don't we? Don't we? Boy, I tell you, we need to if we don't, I'm telling you. But you know what? We also told another story, didn't we? And it was about this man named Jesus. And we call this Jesus God's Son. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did Jesus pray? Dear God, if there is any way, make this cup. But Lord, not my will, but
your will.
And what happened to Jesus? Sometimes it's scary when God's kingdom comes to town. Amen? Because we might just be killed. Do you think when Jesus hung on that cross, God's kingdom was any less present than when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved from that fiery furnace? Sometimes when God's kingdom comes to town and we're surprised or things don't go exactly the way we thought they should go, it scares us, doesn't it? You might even say it scares the heaven. What were you thinking I was going to say? Shame on you. It scares the heaven out of us, doesn't it? So the kingdom of God is to confront oneself with a personal challenge in which we either accept or refuse the will of God for us. The kingdom of God is to confront oneself with a personal challenge in which we either accept or refuse the will of God for us. So when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I don't know about you, but I don't say that the same now as I used to. Today we come to the part of our prayer, of Jesus' prayer, when he says, Give us this day our daily bread. You know, whenever I first read that, I thought, oh, this is going to be the easiest sermon of this whole series, right? What can you pull out of that other than give us this day our daily bread? Well, you know, actually it is pretty straightforward, but there is some things that I want us that will allow us to be a little deeper next time we say it. Let's begin with the fact, give us this day. Now, it's interesting to me, Jesus, about halfway through the prayer, reminds us that we are not all by ourselves, are we? See, he starts it with our Father, and about halfway through the prayer, oh wait, I want to remind you, it is give, it's not give me my daily bread, is it? But isn't that kind of how we pray most of the time? I know whenever myself and your some most of your staff got on an airplane to Atlanta, Georgia this last week, I said, "Dear God, please be with me. Be with the pilot. Be with, you know, everybody involved. Be with the mechanics of the plane, Lord." Right? But I started the prayer with what? "Dear God, please be with me." And here I've been preaching about our Father, right? And this week, Jesus once again says, give us this day, even when we want to pray, give us this day our daily bread, when we want to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Jesus says, give us our daily bread. It breaks us out of the selfishness that we tend to live in and once again expands our horizons to include the community that is around us. You know, if you study the Bible, you learn, I mean, this is very simplistic, so I don't want you to take this and tear me apart because you could. But there's really two general concepts of sin that I have found in when you read Scripture. One type of sin is when you don't hallow God, when you don't respect God for who God is, the one who was and is and always will be. That is a sin. When you say God does not exist, that is a sin, all right? The other sin that I have noticed in Scripture is when you break relationships. Now, you could say, well, the first one is about breaking relationships. Yes, when you break that relationship with God, right? But the second part of that is breaking relationships with people. Think of the sins in your life, and most of them, if not all, I haven't been able to really think of one who doesn't eventually break a relationship between you and another person. Think about that. You see, Jesus is totally about community. Totally about community. That is why it is so important to participate in a Christian community. And I would say, quite honestly, you cannot really, truly be a Christian without participating in a Christian community. A community of faith. You just cannot do it. Remember what was said earlier, if I can find it here? Which I can't. Living and demonstrating it in every moment of our lives. Right? How can we demonstrate it if you're not participating in a Christian community? Because Jesus was totally about community. 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 All right. So the second point in this, other than give us this day our daily bread, centers around the word daily. And this is where we kind of get in a pickle here, as my grandmother used to say. The Greek word that causes the issue and is translated daily is this one. Now, Justin, how do you pronounce that? Do you remember your Greek? It's been too long for me, you know. Epiusis, we think that's how it is pronounced. But anyway, through the years, it's been translated in several different ways. And just to give you some examples here. Give us today bread for the day. Give us today our bread for tomorrow. Give us bread of life. Now, if you notice, the first two deal with bread that you can touch and eat, right? Smell that fresh baked bread. You can, you know, it sustains your life, right? But the third kind is a type of bread that is not necessarily what you eat with your mouth. Do you hear that? Give us the bread of life today. That's the kind of bread that may be a spiritual bread, the kind of bread that lifts you up, that fills you, that gives you strength, that spiritual strength for the day. So we think of this as two different ways, and it depends on how you look at this word, and I won't get into it, but it just depends on how you translate that term. And so in the end, most scholars understand it to be a petition for daily bread, a petition that God will give us the simple, ordinary things which we daily need to keep body and soul together. So what they do is they choose to keep both the physical and the spiritual together. Do you see that? Now, I also want you to notice one other thing. A petition for daily bread, a petition that God will give us the simple, ordinary things like crab legs and gold in our curtains and... You hear what I'm saying? No, that's not what we're praying for, right? Yeah. But what Jesus is teaching us to pray for is things that sustain our life. Bread, not crab legs, right? You understand what I'm saying? We're not talking about this really huge wealth of things. We're talking about Jesus is praying for us, telling us to pray, that we need to pray for God to give us our daily needs, literally, not extravagance. If you think about it, one of the most amazing things in life is that we can take the simple, ordinary things to God. This God who is in the Crab Nebula creating stars that are bigger than our solar system, and yet God cares about ordinary, everyday things for each of us. Isn't that pretty amazing? God is not only the God of the great earth-shaking, epic-making events, but He is also the God who cares that you and I, God's children, may have daily bread to eat. As Jesus tells us a few verses after the prayer in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today is trouble enough for today. Now, you know, if you don't say amen on anything else, you've got to say amen on that one. Amen. Isn't that true? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. God cares about the simplest things in our life. You know, talking about this reminds me of Moses and the Hebrew people and manna. You remember that story in the Old Testament? God gave them the gift of manna every day, right? And He says, gather up enough for what? Today. And some people, probably Boy Scouts, thought, well, you know what? I might need some tomorrow. And I'm a Boy Scout, so I can say that. And so they gathered up enough for 2 days, right? Just in case, right? You got to be prepared, right? What happened to the manna that was left over? So tomorrow, did they have any manna? No. Give us today our daily bread. Trust God each day to provide your needs. Now, the thing is, we could get into this idea of the word give, all right? In this context, give means what we get, we work for, right? In other words, are you going to have a loaf of bread on your table if, in this day, if you didn't either know someone that grew wheat, right? And know how to make it. You have to work for it. In our context, we'd have to have it to go to the grocery store to buy. So we have to work. God wants us to toil. God wants us to work, right? For our basic needs, right? Yes, God will bless us whenever we don't have that option. And again, what are we a part of? A community. So when we honestly don't have that option to be able to work for it, we have a community that will support us in that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what this prayer is about? It is much deeper than we give it credit for, saying it over and over by rote. So to pray, give us this day our daily bread,
is at one and the same time to express our dependence upon God, our trust in God, and to challenge ourselves, to the effort and the work which will bring the gifts of God to ourselves and through us to our community. In praying this prayer, we in trust ask God to supply all the physical and the spiritual needs of this life. We commit ourselves to the service of other people, and we pledge ourselves to the effort of mind and body, which will make it possible for God to give us more and more so that we can share our blessings with others. You know, I see it over and over and over again in my ministry because, obviously, of my interest. I probably didn't pay much attention when I was a chemist. But those churches that hoard all their amazing gifts over and over and over again, what happens to those churches? It may take them 25, 30 years. However it takes them for each person in that church to die off is how long it takes that church to die. But you know, those churches who give freely of everything that they have, guess what they're doing? Guess what they do? And it's not some thing of just recent history. It's been happening for 2,000 years. What happens to those churches who freely give what they're given? They thrive. They grow. You know what? It's a lot like a person. All of us know a person who everything they get, whether it's joy or happiness, whether it's money, whether what it's physical things, whatever they get, they want to give away. They want to give people an opportunity around them to benefit from whatever they get, right? And you know what? That joy is shared with us, isn't it? I mean, I just want to hang around people like that, don't you? Just want to hang around people like that all the time. Why? Because, man, that is so awesome that they can do that. But we also know other people who aren't that way. They're given things, and they're given things, and they're given things, and they're given things, and it seems like it's just that bottomless pit, that black hole out in space. It just goes away, and they're always in need. And what happens whenever you see them in Walmart? Oh, I think I needed something in this aisle. We don't want to be around people like that, do we? It's like the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, right? The Sea of Galilee gives away everything it gets, and it is beautiful, alive, right? You go downstream a little bit to the Dead Sea, who keeps and hoards everything that it gets. Why do you think we call it the Dead Sea? Nothing lives in it, because over thousands of years, as that water has evaporated, because that's the only way out. What happens whenever you let a pot boil dry on your stove? What happens? What's left? We would think of it as salt, right? If it's calcium in your water, calcium will be left in the pot, right? If it's salty, whether it's potassium or sodium chloride, that's going to be left in the pot, right? That's exactly the way the Dead Sea is, but over thousands of years. Now, I know some of you may not want to have this visual in your mind, but if I got on that lake, I'd just float there like a bobber. And I apologize ahead of time if that you didn't want that on your that visual picture on your mind. Me bobbing up and down. But seriously, I mean, you even go out to the Salt Lake in Utah. I have a hard time touching the bottom whenever it's 6 foot deep because it's so salty, right? Just like churches, just like people. When we give away the awesome blessings that God gives us as a church and as a person, right? You have more than you could ever want. You have more than you could ever need. But when we as a person or as a church hoard, we shrivel up and we go away. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so very much for this prayer that is so much deeper than this preacher ever imagined. We give you praise, God, number one, that Jesus walked on this earth. We give you praise because he cared enough to spend time with people. and teach people about our relationship with God, about our relationship with each other, about how we should communicate with the great Creator as well. Dear God, as we think about what we call the Lord's Prayer, help us understand that we are your child. We are not alone. And that you care about even the mundane, ordinary parts of our life. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join me in our closing song. You will find it on the screen.
Let's end our worship on a high note today as we praise God.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Let's hear it again. There we go.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
As you go from this place today, what do we have here?
Trouble.
Sledgehammers and all. Wait, I've never seen you carry a sledgehammer.
Do you have your attention, please?
Better get a mic. I don't know what you're doing, but I want everybody to hear you.
Saturday, this Saturday, the 16th. There is a car bash for the Family Fun Festival.
Oh.
You guys should be there.
Two hits, a buck. All right, we still need some volunteers there. And Tyler's free, so... Right on. Be there.
I tell you what, last year was the first Family Fun Festival, and it was a huge success. Make sure you stop by on Saturday, and as you are enjoying your day at the weekend that we have here in town, make sure that you stop by and just see what's going on here. It'll be a great time on Saturday. Any other interruptions that I don't know about? Jamie? Oh. Thank you so much. If you were able to visit the youth this morning and support them in their breakfast, the huge success that God has blessed upon this youth group and this church just cost more than we had planned for their mission trip. And so that's what this breakfast was for, to help them recover some of those costs for the mission trip so that they can do ministry the rest of this year. So we do sincerely thank you for your participation in that. So anyway, as you go from this place today, know that you are, come on, let's say it together, a child of God. Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Amen.
Good. At your lowest point, when you don't think you can take another step, remember that you are a child of God. Just say that as a breath prayer. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And I am not alone. Go from this place knowing that you are a child of God and you are never alone.
go from this place empowered in a way that maybe you've never experienced before. And when you walk out of this place, that high that you feel, that's God lifting you up, preparing the hearts of all those people that you're going to see today and this week. Step into that blessing. You will see amazing things happen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.